Dan, Amy, and the team. And I had them come to El Paso to end our time there, because that one verse, Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. Jesus sought me when a stranger. We were all once strangers, and we're going to, strangers to the household of God. And we're going to talk about tonight just this simple concept of hospitality, of what it means to become a friend when you were once a stranger, and to have that same love for somebody else and bring them into the household of God. And, you know, it made me sound really bold to say, you know, my title's like Hospitality That Changes the World, you know? But I really think a strong case can be made for that pretty much the only strategy that the early church had for growth was hospitality. It's only mentioned 5 times in the New Testament, but they're really significant 5 times. And we're gonna talk about what that means. And you know, Hebrews, the verse that Amy read, Hebrews 13, 1 through first and second verse. The whole chapter is about how our love as the brethren looks, and it talks about visiting people in prison. Talks about it talks about being free from the love of money and how we care for one another. But the first thing it says is the first verse after let love of the brethren continue is to not neglect showing hospitality to one another, because in doing so, when we show hospitality, there's a chance we might be entertaining angels. What does that mean? It sounds really cool, though. I want to know what that means. You know, I want to entertain angels. And I think it's this beautiful mystery that's not spoken of that much in the New Testament, but this idea of making friends out of strangers being one of our incarnational methodologies, one of the ways of Jesus, because we were once, every one of us were, even though we might have grown up in the church, we were once strangers and aliens. It said, the scripture said, to what? To the household of God. We weren't welcomed in. We were outsiders. We didn't know about it. At some point, God welcomed you through another person, or you're in the process of being welcomed right now through a community of love, through the presence that we talked about earlier today, through the presence, through listening, through someone seeing you and loving you just as you are, and showing you the love of Christ. Before we read the first sheet, I want to tell you, I was just in, we were just, prior to this retreat, Sarah and I we spent a couple special days in Carmel with the Hannemans, John and Liz, and that's like our favorite place to go. And John said, we gotta go to this Middle Eastern restaurant. So we went to this place called Demetra, and it was raucous when we walked in. It was just loud and just a wonderful atmosphere going on in their music and people talking. It was full, and the owners are Syrian, and they would come over from table to table and meet everyone, all their guests in the restaurant, and they would welcome you, and then the owner started playing this weird-looking guitar. I don't know what it was called. And then the cook came out of the back, this short guy, he just came out and started singing this operatic song, and it was just wild. But it was, I felt such a presence of this welcoming spirit that just pervaded the whole place. Didn't you, honey? Isn't it incredible? So much so that then the owner of the restaurant walked over to this one older couple who were next to us and just announced to the whole restaurant, this is their 47th, I think, wedding anniversary tonight. And I forget if he sang him a song or something, but it was just a celebratory sort of atmosphere and this incredibly welcoming feel which Middle Eastern cultures have. And Sarah talked to him afterwards. You know, tell us more about this welcoming spirit you have and to strangers. And he said, well, there are no strangers. Everyone's a guest. You know, when you come into my restaurant and you come into our home in the Middle East, you're a guest. We're not allowed to even ask you
why
you're there till the third day. That they just treat you like family. And I was so inspired. I don't know if anyone's seen also the movie with the Pashtun hospitality with Mark Wahlberg.
Lone Survivor.
If you've seen that movie, and then
it describes it really intimately.
And the Pashtun, is it Pashtun? Mm-hmm. Afghani tribe, you know, saves them.
And risk, yeah.
So I think our idea of hospitality, we're not known for hospitality in America, and the church ought to be. We ought to be. But I was so inspired by this restaurant, being in this restaurant, that I just thought, I just really felt like I told the owner, so I want to pay for that anniversary couple. And I wasn't going to tell you guys because I didn't want you to think, oh, what a good guy. I didn't want them to know. I wanted to be a secret. But that couple was so blown away afterward that they forced that owner to tell them it was paid. And then they came over and then they sat down with us for like half hour, 45 minutes, right? And we talked to them and they shared their whole story with us. We shared our story with them, and it turned out we had no idea how we were blessing them. Like, talk about like entertaining angels. These are angelic presences of what God's doing in someone else's life that you don't know. But until you make that step of being that welcoming presence, and we're not talking about going out and finding people you don't know that are strangers, or strange people on the side of the road with cardboard signs, you know. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about strangers who are still strangers and aliens to the welcoming spirit of Jesus, to the household of God. Okay? And they're probably people that are already in your life. They're already on the doorsteps of your life. You don't have to go find these people. They will present themselves. Either that you already know them, or they will present themselves like they did to us at the restaurant. And we had no idea that this couple was barely on a shoestring coming to celebrate their 47th anniversary. And it became this blessing all around. But that spirit from the Syrian owner and his brother just permeated the whole atmosphere, and I just, that aroma, it did smell good in there with food, but anyway, that aroma that's not just food is something that should invite people into asking questions about, why is that there? Why are you doing this? Why do you love us so? You know, and sometimes we stay in our neat and tidy little groups or, you know, safe places. And I really think the Holy Spirit is constantly whispering to us and pointing out these people to just go the extra mile and stretch out for them. In Romans 12, where it talks about what love of the brethren looks like, what unhypocritical love looks like, how hospitality is one of those things. Paul says, pursue it. He says, the word is really to run hard after hospitality. What do we run hard after? We run hard after and pursue a lot of things, right? You know, what are some of those things? Maybe our careers or, you know, whatever there are, we can be passionate about that really occupy us. What about hospitality? What about loving strangers? And again, we're not talking hospitality that changes the world. Isn't like having a beautiful home. It's not Architectural Digest hospitality, you know? Although it could be using your home, it really is about using your life. Because where does Christ reside? Right here, in the human heart. That's where he chose to reside, inside the human heart. And so we are that welcoming, tabernacling presence of God everywhere we go. And we don't even have to own a home. I'm thankful, right? You guys don't have that yet. Doesn't matter. You can show hospitality. I'm going to read a couple examples, a couple parables of examples of hospitality. One from a cab driver, one from a friend of ours that she does something really interesting every time she takes an airplane ride. She goes on an airplane. It's not like Disneyland airplane. Dumbo ride. And so there's no, we have no excuses that we can show hospitality if we just have our eyes open and we ask God, give me your eyes to see everywhere I go. And I can do that. And also, Scripture also teaches that Jesus is that stranger. When we get outside of ourselves and love people who don't know the love of God yet, we not only might entertain angelic presences, but that presence might actually be Jesus. Why do I say that? A couple of reasons. One, Matthew 25:35 says, Jesus said, "For when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you invited me in." Might actually be Jesus. We had an experience like this at our church in Denver, where when I was on staff there, there was one church service where this girl pressed her, it was like halfway through the service, and she pressed her face up against the glass, which is kind of on the side, and in the sanctuary, was face front, and she was kind of wild looking. She had blue hair, and from then on, she was called the girl with blue hair. One of our elders saw her. I never saw her, but saw her, and this girl was just looking inside, like, what's going on in there? And it was a little weird because, you know, obviously it's a church service, right? But one of our elders, this woman, went out and talked to her and invited her in. And she came in, and then she just sat with her and had a wonderful talk. Turns out this girl just pulled off the street, didn't know what this building was, never even knew about any church before. It's hard to even believe. Didn't know what church was. Didn't know what we were doing. And then this woman, our pastor elder, got a group of women together, and they started meeting with this gal regularly. And we talked about it in our staff meeting, and we just thought that it didn't really matter what was going on in our church service that morning if we didn't know how to treat the girl with blue hair, you know, who was just peering in from the outside, like, what is going on in there? And if we didn't know how to love her, we might as well just clear out of church, you know, just send everyone home. Because we're missing the fact that that was Jesus. And Jesus is saying, do you know how to treat me? Do you know how I appear? I appear in these kinds of people, in these kinds of situations. not in the in just the group of your church congregation that just meets in that one location at that one time. How you treat this woman with blue hair is how you treat me. And I really think that's important. But we can be hospitable and show the love of Christ anywhere, anytime. And Sean, would you show this clip? I want to. Has everyone seen or read the book To Kill a Mockingbird? It's kind of a famous one. But has everyone seen the movie? But so you probably know that there's a character called Boo Radley in this story. And so this is going to be a couple clips about Boo. And just think of how he might be the stranger. So it's unusual that movie kind of ends with Boo Radley, who is pretty much unseen the whole movie, becoming the central part of that movie, the central point of it. Which is really, really an interesting thing, because he was like the most unlikely hero. And yet, you heard the narrative right at the end there that he'd become their neighbor. You know, they had made him, he'd become a friend. But he was once feared, unknown. I think of the unlikely, unnoticed and unlikely people that Jesus called for. Jesus made friends. Can you think of some people that were really unlikely and they ended up being someone that Jesus sought out and welcomed in? I was thinking of Zacchaeus up in the tree. You know that story? He says, Zacchaeus, I'm going to talk about hospitality. I'm going to be at your house tonight. You know? But he saw Zacchaeus up in the street. And can you think of other unlikely people that Jesus made, called forth and made friends of? Pretty much almost everything. A murderer, the Apostle Paul, appeared to him, blinded him. Peter, you know, out in his fishing boat. You and me, all of us, unlikely. And, you know, Boo kept leaving little carved dolls, remember, in a tree? Kept leaving little hints about who he was, that he wasn't this person that you had to fear. And he was a caring person. There was little hints. And I think there's people all around us leaving little hints about their lives if we pay enough attention to them. Again, this is one of these skills that only Jesus can give us, these incarnational way skills that only Christ can give us, the eyes to see who these people are. They're already all around us. And I think it's instructive and interesting that in all the five passages about hospitality, this is the one in Hebrews that says, is the only one that says, don't neglect to practice hospitality. Why does it say that? Why is it easy for us to neglect hospitality? Because we do. We neglect loving the stranger. We neglect seeking out the stranger. What are some reasons we neglect hospitality? Which is one of, like I said, one of the key elements for truly growing the church. It's not all of our church programs, you know, and really, you know, attractional models we have for getting people to come to church. That's not it. It's It's this imperceptive, slow growth of the church, one person at a time. But why do we neglect the stranger? Just throw out some ideas. Why does the author of Hebrews have to put that in there? Don't neglect. Why do we? What are some reasons we don't do this practice?
You have to be intentional. Actively seek to show hospitality. It's not a passive thing.
Yeah. And what causes us to not be intentional?
Self-centeredness.
The focus is on our to-do list, or is that what you mean? Just, yeah, whatever our self-centeredness is. What are some other things that keep us from practicing, noticing the do-red?
Fear.
Yeah, absolutely. Fear, comfort. Maybe we're just too busy, unavailable. We're just unavailable to notice the stranger among us. Let's read page 16 together. And I'm going to read you a couple examples of hospitality like you can do anywhere. Does everyone have page 16? Look on. This is the only verse I've ever quoted from 3 John. Didn't even know it was there. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren, and especially when they are strangers. That's what the New American Standard says. Especially when they are strangers. The world is divided into guests and hosts. Cross can make a host out of a guest. We all know people that are guests wherever they are. They do not take responsibility of a host for people's feelings, comfort, hospitality, needs, or concerns. They are in the world to be served, or self-centeredness, like you said, Matt, not to serve. Someone else is always responsible to take care of them. When they come into a room, they say, well, I'm here, instead of saying, well, look who's here. I'm glad to see you. How are you? That's what communicating the faith is all about. When the forgiving love of the cross has healed us at the core, our abiding concern is for the guests that God puts in our lives. If conversation, sharing of experience, inquiring into the other person's need, patient listening, liberating empathy are seen in the context of joyous listening. Remember we talked about listening this morning? We will come across as a person whom others cannot resist. They will want to be with us and know our Savior. Have you ever felt that kind of joyous listening, that patient listening, that hospitality that brought you into the household of God? Someone had to show you that. Someone had to be like Randy was to Bob Goff. And it's not the other guy who ought to do that. This is something where we need to ask God to help us learn how to practice this and how to notice the strangers that are already there or who will present themselves at the very next place that you go. My friend, Sarah and I have a friend named Carrie. And she's an unusual, she kind of does what I do. She's a pastor at large. And she just told us about this a few weeks ago. That she tried to get out of San Diego, but ended up needing to fly out of Orange County. Of course, I thought it was simply because there was no flights available, but God had a greater purpose. I bought a box of chocolates and wrote a thank you card and gave it to one of the flight attendants. One by one, each flight attendant came and sat next to me and shared why it was so significant that I had thanked them and encouraged them tonight. She just wrote a note and gave them a box of chocolates. You ever done that on the airplane? One by one, they came by and sat next to me. Yesterday had been a very discouraging and disheartening day. One of the flight crew had been belittled, shamed, and yelled at by a customer. It had shaken the whole team and nearly grounded the plane. The woman who had been the recipient of the harsh behavior sat with me for nearly 10 minutes telling me her story. Another woman took a picture of my note and said she would read it daily. The captain sent his thanks and they wanted to get my info because they wanted to send it on to corporate. I was able to share that I had intended to fly from San Diego, but it turns out that they were in need of a blessing. It ended up being one of the most meaningful flights I've been on. It was such a gift. And I know that the small, unseen ways you serve others have a ripple effect that is significant. I think she was entertaining angels without knowing it. I'm just writing. And I asked her, I said, why did you decide to write a note and do chocolates for that flight? And she goes, oh, I do that every flight. Do you think that's what we're talking about? Is that a form of hospitality? But who thinks that way? I don't. She just said she'd never heard of that being done, but she just started doing it. We have this other friend who has just been going out to a high school where there's no young life at this high school, and she just goes out on Tuesdays. At 6:30 in the evening on Tuesdays and sits on the hill at this high school and just prays for the high school for no reason. But recently she had another Young Life leader in Denver say that he had a heart for Englewood High School, this high school. And this girl's just been doing this for months and months, just not knowing what would happen, just showing up and being hospitable to strangers she didn't even know what happened yet. There's so many different examples that I could give you of how this looks. You guys are probably too young to drive an Uber or a Lyft. At 25, I don't know, maybe. But I just want to finish with this story. And it's called The Cab Ride I'll Never Forget. 20 years ago, I drove a cab for a living. One time I arrived in the middle of the night for a pickup at a building that was dark except for a single light in the ground floor window. Under these circumstances, many drivers would just honk once or twice, wait a minute, and drive away. But I had seen too many impoverished people who depended on taxis as their only means of transportation. Unless a situation smelled danger, I always went to the door. This passenger might be someone who needs assistance, I reasoned to myself. That night, I walked to the door and knocked. Just a minute, answered a frail, elderly voice. I could hear something being dragged across the floor. After a long pause, the door opened. A small woman in her 80s stood before me. She was wearing a print dress and a pillbox hat with a veil pinned on it, like somebody out of a 40s movie. By her side was a small nylon suitcase. The apartment looked as if no one had lived in it for years. All the furniture was covered with sheets. There were no locks on the walls, no knickknacks or utensils on the counters. In the corner was a cardboard box filled with photos and glassware. "Would you carry my bag out to the car?" she said. I took the suitcase to the cab, and then returned to assist the woman. She took my arm, and then we walked slowly to the curb. She kept thanking me for my kindness. "It's nothing," I told her. "I just try and treat my passengers the way I would want my mother to be treated." "Okay, you're such a good boy," she said. When we got in the cab, she gave me an address and then asked, "Could you drive me through downtown?" "It's not the shortest way," I answered quickly. "Oh, I don't mind," she said. "I'm in no hurry. I'm on my way to a hospice." I looked in the rearview mirror. Her eyes were glistening. "I don't have any family left," she continued. "The doctor says I don't have very long." I quietly reached over and shut off the meter. "What route would you like me to take?" I asked. For the next 2 hours, we drove through the city. She showed me the building where she had once worked as an elevator operator. We drove through the neighborhood where she and her husband had lived when they were newlyweds. She had me pull up in front of a furniture warehouse where she had once worked. Sometimes she asked me to slow in front of a particular building or corner and would sit staring into the darkness saying nothing. As the first hint of sun was creasing the horizon, she suddenly said, "I'm tired, let's go now." We drove in silence to the address she had given me. It was a low building, like a small nursing home, with a driveway that passed under the portico. Two orderlies came out to the cab as soon as we pulled up. They were solicitous and intent, watching her every move. They must have been expecting her. I opened the trunk and took the small suitcase to the door. The woman was already seated in a wheelchair. "How much do I owe you?" she said, reaching into her purse. "Nothing," I said. "You have to make a living," she answered. "There are other passengers." Almost without thinking, I bent and gave her a hug. She held on to me tightly. "You gave an old woman a little moment of joy," she said, "thank you." I squeezed her hand and then walked into the dim morning light. Behind me, a door shut. It was the sound of a closing of a light. I didn't pick up any more passengers that shift. I drove aimlessly, lost in thought. For the rest of the day, I could hardly talk. What if that woman had gotten an angry driver or someone who was impatient to end his shift? What if I had refused to take the run and had honked once and drove away? As I look back, I don't think that I've done anything more important in my life than that drive. We're conditioned to think that our lives revolve around great moments. But great moments often catch us unaware, beautifully wrapped in what others may consider a small one. Again, an example of hospitality. Just something that presented itself in just the moment of the day. It could be getting into a cab, it could be going to a restaurant like we did, it could be getting on an airplane. But I think we have to ask God to help us just be more creative in our thought process of how to notice those who are strangers among us and have that welcoming presence of Jesus everywhere we go. And it's really a fun adventure when you start doing that. It's a lot of fun. Because you just never know what's going to present, and it could be something like what happened to us in that restaurant where this couple, it was exactly the encouragement they needed, this couple that we bought their meal for. And we had no idea that was going to be that way. I think that's how God works. I don't think He works through tightly orchestrated, programmatic ministry sometimes. Sometimes He does. We need to get better at really noticing Him everywhere we go and the people that appear before us. I want to end there. We've had a long day. Sean, do you want to have us break into little groups?
What time is it? 8:30. Yeah, let's do some group time. Yeah.
Let's do what we've been doing. Just pick two or three people to meet with and just talk about what. Who might be, here's just a couple questions. You can talk about anything that you heard tonight. But think about who might be two people that have already presented themselves in your life, are already there, or have recently, and you just didn't pick up on it. But just someone who might already be in your life that you could be that welcoming presence for. And just this idea of hospitality, how can you apply that to your life? Is that something where you can do that? What does that look like, for a college person in your life? So, all right.